Well, let me ask you the question. Do you want 2020 to be a spiritually successful year in your life? Now, I would guess most people don't think, I want 2020 to be a year of failure. I think most of us would say, I want 2020 to be a successful year in my spiritual life. Now, none of us know what 2020 holds before us. But when we come to the end of 2020, and if Jesus tarries, it's 2021, and we look back on this year, I hope that we can look back and say, with all that happened in my life, I wouldn't have anticipated so many of the turns that my life took over the year, but I look back and I say, oh, Lord, thank you that this past year has been a spiritually successful year. God wants you to have a spiritually successful year. And I do, too. So I'm going to preach to you today about five words that will make 2020 a spiritually successful year in your life. Would you turn with me in your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and I'll give you a moment, as always, to find it. You'll want to find verse 13 and then verse 14. And then we're going to stand together and read these two verses aloud as a congregation. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and then verse 14. All right, would you stand, please, and let's read together the scriptures, lifting our voices together as a congregation to read these two portions of the Word of God. Are you ready? Let's read together Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 and then verse 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let's pray and ask God to speak to us from His Word, the Bible, as we read these words before us. So Lord God, we are asking for more than just an understanding of what You have written there. We are asking that You would bring an understanding that is impactful in the lives of the children, the young men and women, the adults of this congregation, wherever we are. We ask that You would do this supernatural work and that Your Spirit would take these Your words and reveal to us where we are and how You want us to change for Your glory. Now, that means different things. Some people need to come to Christ to be saved. Others, there are areas where their minds need to be transformed. Their thinking is not in line with Your truth. There are their actions and obedience that we need to take. And what You're doing, I don't know, except that we know You're faithful. And so as the preacher, I yield to the Spirit. As a hearer with our congregation, I yield to the Holy Spirit and ask that He would speak and make these words that are life-giving and truly bring life even to us. So we ask for help, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, Paul begins this chapter by telling the church at Philippi, I guess giving them a warning. Be on the lookout, because there are people who, though they may be sincere, were sincerely wrong. And they were said, look out, because they're going to try to pressure you to give into some wrong thinking. How many of you know that there are times when there are people that are very sincere? They're just at times sincerely wrong, right? And the Apostle Paul then says, well, and let me tell you how I know it's so. I know it's so because I used to be one of those people. I was sincere. And he tells a little bit of his own story, his own biographical synopsis. And he says, I was one of those people. I was very religious. I was very zealous in my religion. I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong until I met Jesus Christ. And He changed my life and He saved me and He gave me a new purpose and a new calling in my life. And then he tells the people at Philippi, I'm going to tell you what I've learned about how to have spiritual success in my life. I'm going to tell you some of the things that God has taught me, and I want you to be successful. I don't want you to give in to false teaching. I don't want you to be distracted. I don't want you to be redirected, and I want you to stay focused on what God has for you. So I'm going to tell you about what God has done in my life and what He is doing in my life, and I want to be a help to you. And really, that's exactly what I want to do today. I want us together, really, not me, it's what God wants us to know how we can have a 2020 that brings Him glory and is spiritually successful in our lives. So let's talk about five words for spiritual success. Are you ready? If you're taking notes, get your pencil out and let's write. Here we go. Number one, the first of the five words is the word focus. You'll notice verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. I'm on this journey. I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do. The American evangelist Dwight L. Moody from the 19th century, God used him greatly. And one time Moody said this, I'd rather see a man say this one thing I do than these 100 things I dabble at. And Paul reminds us of the very thing that Moody highlighted, that if you want to have spiritual success in your life, you have to get focused. You have to have a focus in your life. Now, what does this mean? What is it that God wants me to focus on in my life? Well, you start by focusing on what you know. So what do we know that God wants you to focus on? Well, we do know this, that God wants you to focus on being saved if you're not saved. We are told this, 2 Peter 2:9, that God is not slack concerning as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's what I know. I don't know all that God might have for you, but I can tell you this. This is exactly God's will for your life. God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to question whether you're going to heaven or not. He doesn't want you to wonder, am I really His child? When my life is over, where will I be? He wants you to know that you are one of His and you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That's God's will. Is there anyone that God is not willing to be saved? And the answer is no. God wants all to be saved. And friend, if you have not yet come to Jesus trusting Him alone, oh, listen, God's... You say, I want to know what God's will for my life is. God wants you to be saved. Make that your focus. Today is the day you can come to Christ and be saved. Oh, listen, we do know that God wants you to be saved. We know that God's will for your life is to be surrendered. Romans 12, 1 and 2, if you know it, say it with me. In early service, I was quoting this, and I got all tongue-tied. How many of you ever got tongue-tied before? So the people in the early service said it with me and carried me through. And I said, hey, we all need help sometimes. So I'm going to have you just a little, because I've already struggled once. Can you all carry me through? Would you help me carry me through? Here we go. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to know what God's will is? God's will is that you surrender your life a living sacrifice. And when you surrender, then He transforms your life. And when you surrender to His will, then God will reveal to you those things in your life you don't know that are His will, but it all starts with a surrender. And then there's something else to think about, and that is, I do know this, it is God's will that you are sanctified. Now, sanctified is a wonderful word. It's a word that means that I am set apart for God's purposes. Turn in your Bible from the book of Philippians. We'll come back to it, but go a few pages back, a couple books away to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read, I could begin at the first verse, but I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. For this is the will of God. Oh, wait. God's will? Yeah, this is God's will. Get ready. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And then God addresses a very important issue that is a part of the human experience that ought to be yielded to Him in His will, set apart for His purposes, the area of human sexuality. And He says, keep reading, that ye should abstain from fornication, any sexual sin. And that every one of you, verse 4, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. Whew, that's a great word. That means somebody that just gives everything over to whatever they want and whatever their selfish, wicked desires are. Even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go on and be defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. You see, in this area, God wants you to be sanctified, that is, mind and body set apart for Him. But that's true of every area of your life. What's God's will for my life? Well, sometimes we wonder about it, and we should, and we're asking God, show me your will. I want to know about this decision. What do I do here? I want to know about the where or the when or the how or the what or the why or the who or whatever it is. And you're asking God, what about this? What about this? What about this? And what we need to realize is that God will be faithful to show you the who, the what, the when, the why, the how, whatever. He'll show you that when you need to know it. But right now, you need to focus on what God's already said. And when you already do what you know God has said and make that the focus in your life, God will be faithful to reveal to you what you do not yet know. So in your life, you have to get a focus about how can I live out what God has already said. Therefore, to him, this is James 4, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is what, congregation, if you know it? It's sin. So God wants you to focus on what you do know. Okay, what does that mean for me in my life? Because outside of even the scriptures I just shared with you, what does that mean and what does that have to do with my life this year? Let's think about other obligations and apply this to other areas of your life. And you start to ask God, God, in 2020, where do you want me to focus? Maybe God wants you to focus on some health areas in your life. Just a steward of your health. Maybe it's that in your life there are some financial decisions you need to make, some things that need to change in your financial life. And will you be able to believe God? Maybe there are some things in your family life. It may be things in your professional development that you want to do so that you can be more effective in the calling that God's given you in your field of endeavor. It may be just in areas of your own personal growth where you want to grow. And God wants you to grow in your life. And you've asked the Lord, show me. But whatever it is, then as you determine what those are, then you begin to focus on those things. So God, what do you want me to focus on and what are you doing in my life in this year, and make that your focus? Old Charlie Brown in the Peanuts cartoon had a bow and arrow, and he shoots an arrow from his bow, and wherever the arrow would land, he would then paint a target around it. What I'm telling you is, in your life, get some targets. Get some targets. God, what are the areas of my life that you want to target this year? Now, how many of you know, if you're an individual that has lived this and you make this a part of your life normally, how many of you know whenever you set targets up and you say, Lord, if this is what you want, this is what I'll do and what I'll work on, what I'll pursue. And there is, how many of you know that whenever you do that kind of a list, you say, I never get my list all the way done. But how many of you know you'll get a whole lot more done than if you never make a list? Otherwise, you're carrying around a round to it. Well, I'll get around to it. And another year of your life will pass. And you'll have another round to it. But oh, you would have missed what God could have done in your life. This one thing I do. Paul was a man of many interests. But he understood that at some point in his life, he needed to get focused. And in your life, it's time to really get focused. All right, so focus. The next word is the word forgetting. Forgetting. Do you want to be spiritually successful? Forgetting. This one thing I do, and then the Apostle Paul says, there are things I need to forget. Now, how many of you know that forgetting is a gift? Do you have the gift of forgetting? Anyone beside me have the gift of forgetting? If you have the gift of forgetting, ask someone to give you the gift of a pencil to write it down and a place to write it, right? The gift of forgetting. But you know, really, God says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The past is something from which to learn. But if you want to go forward and make this year a spiritually successful year, you can't live in the past. You learn from the past. I've told that 100 times. You learn from the past, but you don't live in the past. And Paul, when you look at his life, look at his forgetting what's behind. Boy, he had some negative things in his life, didn't he? In fact, he tells about it in this chapter, how he was zealous, how he was an enemy of those followers of Christ until he met Jesus and received him by faith. And Jesus changed his life. And the very people now who knew he was writing and who followed the Christ that he served, and they are followers, those are the kind of people that he used to persecute. How many of you think that his past life could so easily haunt him and hold him back? Is there anybody that doesn't have a negative past in some way? Everybody does. Maybe some more than others, to different degrees, different. But everybody has to realize that there's a negative past. And you cannot let the negative past hold you back from fulfilling the present and the future that God wants to give you. You have to learn to leave the negative in the past. But boy, Paul also had some wonderful things that God done in his life. Some wonderfully positive things. Oh, God saved him. God had called him to serve him in a wonderful way. Missionary, church planter, an apostle. Wow. And oh, God had used him in wonderful ways, even at this point and up to this point. And there was more that God had for him. But he understood that God had helped him in the past and used him in the past. But I cannot let even past successes hold me back from the present and the future God has for me. I can't sit on my blessed assurance and go nowhere. And I'm going to tell you in your life that if you want to be spiritually successful, you have to understand that the past needs to be understood. I need to be grateful for the good things. I need to learn from the bad things. But I can't live back there. And it could be in your life, one of the reasons that you just feel like I'm not going anywhere in my spiritual life is because you haven't put the past in perspective. I'm going to tell you, it's time to forget it. Don't let it hold you back. Don't let it become an excuse for not moving forward, whether it's good or bad, whatever it is. And I would guess most of us have enough good, enough bad in our past that we all could have a boatload of excuses, huh? Forgetting. Maybe that's what God wants to do in your life today, is help you to learn to forget and move forward in His plan for your life. So put your past in perspective. And then once your past is in perspective, then you're ready to put your priorities in perspective. Because Paul was a man of varied interests. He was a skilled man. He was by trade a tent maker. He was a studied man. He was trained at the feet of one of the leading scholars of his day, Gamaliel. When you read Paul's writings, you'll find in his writings and then the record of his discourse that he quotes secular poets just as much as he would, not just as much, but as easily and readily as he would quote the scriptures. We'd call him a Renaissance man. But Paul said, there are some things that I put aside because the focus of my life is what God has for me as I go forward. So let's take a look at your focus, and then let's take a look at what you need to forget. And then let's do some rearranging of your priorities based on it. Well, there's the first word is focus. The second word is forgetting. Let's talk about the third word. Are you ready? If you want to have a spiritually successful 2020, here's the third word that God tells us about in this passage of scripture. The third word in from Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 is the word forethought. Forethought. Don't consider myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And look at your Bible, verse 13. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. You have to begin to think, what is it that God has before me? All right, so you've already done this, right? You're thinking about your focus for the year. You're thinking about what God wants to do. And let's say you start to write some of those areas down. In this part of my life, I think God wants this to happen and God wants this to happen. And you think about all that you think God wants you to do and focus on this year. Now if you have done this, you've already taken a step for forethought. Now, if you haven't done it yet, we're early in the year. Take some time this week. We have a little resource that we give called the Stewarding Life Tool. And you know what? I found out after early service, we usually keep these here all the time for people to pick up to help them to steward their life with 10 areas of your life. And I was told after early service that those are all taken and picked up. So they're all gone. No more. No, we'll make some more for you this week. You can pick them up Wednesday night or really any time. But listen, now you're going to think about, where is it I want to go? What does God want for me? And this becomes how you're going to reach forth. See, God wants to work in my life because I find myself emotionally unstable. Do you ever feel that way? Okay, how can I grow in that area to find stability? Okay, that's what I'm going to reach forth to. There are areas of my life. God wants to get some financial things in order. Okay, how can I reach forth and strive to that? What are we going to do to reach forth? There are people that God has put into my life, and I'm going to pray about the people that don't yet know the Lord, or I don't know if they know the Lord yet or not, and I'm praying about that individual or those individuals, how I can meet them. Maybe I already know them, but I don't know them that well. And I'm going to start really making this a matter of prayer because I know that God wants me to be a witness for Him. Who are the people that I want to impact this year? And God, who are those? Would you show me? And I'm putting effort into planning and looking ahead because I believe that God is a God that wants to use my life and work in my life. And I want to be part of what God is doing. So I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, God will show you what He wants you to know and what you need to do when it all that takes place. God will take care of it. But while you're walking with God and following the Lord, just keep reaching forth unto those things you are before. Jesus tells a parable. Luke chapter 14, I'll turn to it in my Bible. You're welcome to join me if you will. You don't have to. But Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells a parable. And he begins the parable, the first parable, he says, I'm going to tell you about a story. I'm going to tell you about a builder. And he was going to build a tower, and he started to build the tower, but in all the planning, he forgot to do one thing. He didn't figure out if he had enough money to pay for it. And he builds the tower and he doesn't quite get it done. He does some of it, but he doesn't, because he didn't plan and didn't plan for the money that he needed to finish it. Now, what do you think about that? So what about a king? He's going to battle. We're going to go over there. We're going to beat him. But he hasn't thought about how many guys he has and how many guys they have. He hasn't thought about strategy, tactics. What do you think about a king that would do that without planning ahead and counting what it would cost to make that happen? Hadn't given the forethought. Now, here's what you need to know about your spiritual life in 2020. I want you to know that anytime God leads you, there will always be a cost, because following the Lord, disciple, as a disciple, discipleship always has a cost. And I want you to be aware. It's a price you'll be glad you paid. But there's always a cost. And that's why the parables that Jesus told, I told you about, he introduces them with these words. This is Luke 14:27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You have to embrace the cross of self-denial. And then he closes out the parable so likewise. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. You see, as you go forward in your life, just know that there's always going to be a cost. So what are the words? The first word is focus. The second is forgetting. The third word is forethought. You ready for the fourth word? Here's the fourth word. Get your pencil out. But wait, before I tell you the fourth word, there's something you need to know. If you don't do the fourth word, the other three don't matter. So listen, if you're not ready to do number four, you've just wasted 30 minutes of your life, or 20 minutes, or 50, however long it feels like I've been up here. If you say, oh, it just feels like 10 minutes, bless you. If you say, it feels like I've been up there an hour and a half, man, bless me. Maybe you need the blessing more than I do. So if you haven't done if you don't do number four, one through three, don't worry about it. Your life is, you're going to have the same life you had last year. Number four is where it's at. Here it is. Number four is the word follow through. This one thing I do, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now watch verse 14. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, I've got all this going, but I want to tell you, while I'm living this life, I am pressing forward. Follow through. Now, three times in this passage of Scripture, God uses this same term translated press, but it's translated three different ways. Before the Apostle Paul came to Jesus Christ and his life was changed by faith and the Lord Jesus, he was a passionate, zealous man. But he was zealous of self-righteousness and religion. In fact, he tells about how zealous he was. Look in your Bible, chapter 3, verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. The word zeal is the word that we're identifying, translated press in verse 14. It means that he had a passionate pursuit. Oh, he had a past passionate pursuit. But he said, wait a minute, I came to Jesus Christ and everything changed. And in verse 12, he describes a present passionate pursuit. If you will notice verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. That is all that God wants me to be. But I follow after. And that's the word, passionate pursuit. I follow after. that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus changed my life and he has a hold on my life, and I'm his, but yet while I'm his, I want to hold on to him because I want to know him and I want to know his power and blessing in my life, and he has a hold of me and I have a hold of him, and this is what my life is about. It's about knowing and living and serving and giving myself to him. That was his pursuit. And then he comes to the third time that he uses the term in the passage, and it's verse 14. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what it means. It means that I'm like a runner and I just keep taking step after step after step. I just keep stepping and striding and striding. And sometimes I'm running more fast, and sometimes I'm running a little slow. And sometimes I stumble along the way. Sometimes I feel good. Sometimes I don't feel so good. But I just keep pressing forward. Now, I'm going to tell you, in your spiritual life, this is one of the great secrets of spiritual life. It is that I just keep pressing forward, and God works in my life, and I respond, and all that we've already, and there's a focus of my life, and all this, but whatever else happens, I just keep following through and pressing forward. God, step by step, takes you through. Sometimes you feel like, boy, I can run 15 miles and feel good. Sometimes you think, I don't know if I can make it another 300 feet. But I just keep pressing and keep pressing and keep pressing. Follow through. Now listen, I could preach to you for 15 hours. But if you don't do anything with it, it won't do you any good. Can I tell you that? And the difference is not just what happens in the sermon. It's when God the Spirit deals with your life, and there's a supernatural work that He works with you through the preaching of the Word and all that He is doing in your life. But what happens then is when God's supernatural power speaks, and then trusting His supernatural power, you begin to obey God and let God transform your life, following through step by step, just pressing. That's how your life has changed. All right, focus, forgetting, forethought, follow through. You ready for number five? Number five is a wonderful word because number five puts everything else in proper perspective, and really in God's proper perspective. And here's number five. It's the word finish. Finish. I press, literally, I just keep pressing. I press toward the prize. Excuse me, read it with me, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, the high calling of God, when God from glory gives the homeward and heavenly call. Now, that homeward call may come in death. He calls me home and my life is over and I'm with Him. I stand before my Lord. It may be that that homeward call could happen at the rapture. It hasn't happened yet, but when we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, we'll meet Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So whether the homeward call is in death or the homeward call is in the rapture, there's a day when I will one day finish this life and I will enter into the fullness of my eternal life. And there, when I realize the light of eternity and the glory of God and all that He is, it puts this life into its proper perspective. How many of you have ever heard this expression that, oh, that person is so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? How many of you ever heard that one? Maybe you have this view, I don't know. I sort of think that most of us are probably so earthly minded we're no heavenly good. You know what I'm talking about? And the image that is described here is a runner. He's running that race. She's running that race. And you know the finish line's ahead and the runner knows it's coming. Now along the way, you have to be careful on this race. It's a long race, so it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to have detours. All along the way in this race, there are times when there are glorious victories and there's grace always. And there are times of thrills. There are other times when there are heartbreaks and there are hurts. There are other times when there are difficulties. Sometimes we fall and we get back up. But as I'm running, I always remember that there's a finish line. And one day this life will be over. And one day Jesus is there. That day I'll give an answer for my life. And I want to make sure when I'm running that this life is lived in light of what matters there. Because when I cross that final line and I look back over my life and I see it in God's perspective, oh, I don't want to have wasted this life. Now, we're at the beginning of 2020. And we don't know what's ahead. Let me ask you, this is interesting to me. I asked early service, I'm going to ask you all this. How many of you would like to know what's ahead in 2020? How many of you would like to know? There is no right or wrong. All right, number of you would. How many of you really don't care to know? You just let the Lord show it whenever it happens. How many of that's you? All right. Very interesting. So none of us know, whether you want to know or not, none of us know what's ahead. But here's what you need to remember, that there's about a year from now, 2020 will be done. And I want to look back, don't you? And say, oh, here's what all happened in my life that I didn't foresee. I didn't see those turns. There's some things that God did were wonderful. But I want to look back and I'll say, Lord, thank you for your help to make this a year that mattered. And I want you to go far beyond 2020. And I want you to think about, when your life is all over, you look back to know that you ran the race well all the way to the finish. To the finish. So in your life, you want 2020 to be successful? Focus. What do you need to forget? Forethought. Follow through. And with all of it, let's remember the finish. Would you stand with me, please? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we want to give you a chance now to make some decisions about what God has said in His book, the Bible. We explain the Bible and proclaim the Bible, and God uses His word to speak to you, and it brings you to decision points. Now, in your life, you have some things that you need to settle with God. I don't know what all they are. God does, and you do. And aren't you glad that God is so concerned for you that He is speaking to you about where you are in your life? Isn't that wonderful? Now, you're a steward of what God has put into your life as He's dealing with you. So I'm going to pray with you about it. But I do know this, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, today is the day. You need a Savior. He is the one who died and rose again. He can save you. I do know that. I do know that He wants you to be submissive to His will and then set apart. So God, whatever you want to do in your will, I'll do it. However you want to transform my life, I'm willing. And with that Spirit and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God, God will give you grace to make 2020 a year of spiritual blessing.